6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I think I opened a portal in Arizona, actually.
Talk to me.
All time is happening at the same time.
And tell me what that means.
Like, I don't know what exists back there.
I see it there.
Right.
There could be a harlot. There right. could be a caveman.
They could be seeing us as a ghost.
What do you mean you know a witch?
I know witches.
Like who?
This guy claimed that he killed 20-something gray aliens with a samurai sword in his house.
Dude, hold on, my brain.
Good to see you. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You're making the rounds.
Yeah, we got a new season coming out. Season 29, I think.
Season 29 of Ghost
Adventures.
That's different than Ghost Hunters.
Or Ghost, whatever all the other ones
were. Your Ghost were. Adventures.
Yeah.
When did the show start?
2008, I think.
And you've been on it since the get-go?
Since 2010. So I came in the second year.
Whose idea was it?
It was Zach, who's the main, our lead investigator. He's the executive producer. Basically, him, two other guys got together out in Vegas. They went out to all these old mining towns. They were like film school kids, you know, and they wanted to make a documentary. So they went out to all these abandoned mining towns all around Nevada, made a documentary, got amazing evidence. Documentary did well through festivals, and I think Sci-Fi Channel ended up buying the documentary and then basically went into a, you know, who wants to develop into a show, and Travel Channel came in and ended up picking it up. So we were on that for everything, for... I don't even know how long. And then I think 2 years ago, we switched over, and now we're actually on Discovery Channel.
The app. So how you've been doing this show for 15 years.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been 29 years, though. So you do two seasons a year.
Yeah, basically two seasons a year. Yeah, they split it up all kinds of weird ways. Sometimes there's like six episodes in a season. Other times there's 12. Like, I don't know. We have nothing to do with that. We just keep shooting. But, you know, one thing I always found interesting about our show is what, you know, you probably know in production, like when you shoot a season, you usually do like 2-3 months. You shoot a whole season, and you take a break, and you're off for a few months. With our show, we've been shooting every other week consistently for, with me at least, the last 15 years.
No.
Yeah, so there's no break, no stop. I mean, we get maybe an extra week off during Christmas time or holidays.
Are you kidding me?
Nonstop, every other week.
And you go, how long is it, do you have to shoot to get an episode? Is it an hour?
Yeah, it's an hour episode. I mean, 40-something minutes minus commercials.
But, okay, so you're doing, let's say, 8 episodes.
Right.
In a six-month window, right?
Yeah, I guess we basically do 2 episodes a month. So,
But you shoot every other week?
Yeah, we do one episode every other week.
Bro, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Why isn't there a season?
I don't know. I just, the kind of the way they've always done it, it's
that's nuts.
Right? I like it in some ways because it's like, all right, I already know pretty much what we're doing. But it's tough too because, like, sometimes it's like, I don't even have enough time to do laundry sometimes.
But are you, how old are you?
I'm 43. Gonna be 44 later this year.
You look young.
Thank you.
So, but you're not married?
I am now, yeah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's tough on the regular life.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, like I said, like, sometimes it's not even time to get laundry. Like, you're in and out so quick, you know, like, you know, and especially doing what we do, like, dealing with paranormal and, like, the intensity. Sometimes, like, if it's a really intense shoot, first 3 days home, I'm just a hermit just trying to hibernate and shake that negative energy or whatever we just went through. Then you wake up, you start coming back to life, you do your laundry, and you're like, oh, now it's time to go back out again.
But you won't just do the United States. You'll go overseas, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't too much lately, but we've done international. We've been to Romania. We did Dracula's Castle out there, which was pretty wild.
How was that? Was that like the castle where they shot or they made it look like Coppola's Dracula? Was it based off of that one?
Kind of. So we did two different castles. There was a castle where he was held prisoner. So it wasn't his castle, but like they had like a cell like down underneath of it, and that he was actually kept there as a prisoner for a long time. And then we did another castle that was one of his, but I guess he's had multiple. This one was kind of in ruins.
I think I saw clips from this. So wait, when did you guys go there?
This was maybe 2012-ish, somewhere around
so
there.
So you guys went 2012.
Something like that, yeah.
And was it the castle that, did you go to the one that was on the mountain?
Yeah, there's one that's like kind of up. It
and you
looks
went to that?
Like, you know, it looks like something out of a movie.
What's
sure.
the history of it?
I think that one, if I'm remembering right, that was the one where he was held captive that I remember looking like, oh shit, this is the, you know, the Dracula castle. But I guess what's interesting about Dracula, we think of him as this dark, evil dude. And don't get me wrong, he tortured people and was brutal in the way he killed. But in Romania, he's looked at as a hero.
Because
he basically freed the Romanian people. And he was a leader that kind of like brought them together and kind of saved them. But he was just brutal in the way he did it. Like his enemies, he would, you know, he would put a stake up through them coming out of their mouth and, you know, stick them out in the front yard basically to show everybody.
Wait a minute. So it was to show, like, to put fear in the people's
pretty
eyes.
Pretty much. You're like, don't mess with us because this could be you. Kind of
but
thing.
His people were...
He was doing
this to the people that wanted to oppress his people.
Exactly, yeah.
So do you know a lot of the lore of Dracula?
I mean, just probably the stuff from the movies and the books, but...
So he's looked upon as somebody that they like, but... You know, the whole thing. First of all, do you believe in vampires?
I believe not like that. I believe in energy vampires. Like,
you know, in LA?
Yeah.
In Vegas?
Everywhere.
Come on, bro.
Exactly. It's all over the place. But it's true. Like, whether they're doing it on purpose or not, there are people that just literally suck the energy out of you. I think now there's a culture, there are people, I've met people that are like in this subculture of vampirism and things like that, that actually like drink human blood and do this stuff. They're not like out hunting people, they're not out like attacking people.
They actually drink the blood?
Supposedly. I mean, who knows if it's just some like, you know, fructose syrup.
Well, in New Orleans, they said it's a big thing.
Yeah, down there they have a big like vampire ball and stuff like that.
Have you ever taken the tour?
Of what? In
New Orleans.
New Orleans? No.
Bro, how am I doing stuff
you haven't
done?
I don't know.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
You have to take the vampire tour.
Okay.
I'm annoyed at my nephew, if you're watching this, because he's like a real practical guy.
Mm.
Very smart. Nice. But I gave in. I was like, this is incredible lore.
Yeah.
And the history of it, how the city was built, interview with a vampire.
Right.
The way the buildings look,
mm-hmm.
I've shot in New Orleans at least 10 times.
Yeah.
Of different things.
We've done a couple episodes, but never any kind of the vampire stuff or.
Well, there's just history of like, they still say this one guy's there, mm-hmm. and then there's these twins, and it's just a fascinating. It feels like it's real. So when you talk about Dracula's castle.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at that shit as real. Like, you, how much of this stuff do you believe? Because you seem like 100%. A practically normal guy, but yet, so do you actually believe that among us, vampires walk?
I think there's people that act like vampires.
So you don't believe in it?
I don't believe in, like, the paranormal, like, they live forever. Like, if sunlight hits them, they dissolve, things like that. I don't necessarily believe that aspect of it. There could be something like some kind of, I don't know. I'm not against it. Like, I'm open.
Are
to
you
anything,
the practical you know? Minded one on the show?
I definitely am. I'm more of like the, all right, like, how can we prove this or, you know, figure out what is this actually going on? But I've seen enough. I mean, I've seen things lift off the ground, go flying. I've been parts of exorcisms. I've witnessed possessions. I've watched all kinds of like witch rituals and all kinds of things. I've participated in them as well, just to kind of experience and see what happens.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions because this is so fascinating.
Yeah, for sure.
So is the other guy, who's his show, and I apologize, what's his name again?
Zach.
Does he on board 100% with everything?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And you're the skeptic?
Kind of. I mean, I'm a believable skeptic. And I think all of us, when we go into an investigation, we start as skeptics. We don't just automatically, like, oh, this place is haunted. We want to document it. We want to prove it. We want to experience it for ourselves before we actually can, like, you know, basically back up the claim that it is haunted.
So how did you get involved with this?
So 2010, they called me, actually. I grew up in just outside of Philly.
You know I'm from Philly.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Where did you grow up?
On the Jersey side, though, like in Blackwood, Clementon.
Okay, that's crazy.
Kind of near Cherry Hill, I guess, is the more known spot, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Clementon Park.
You don't really have an accent.
No, well, my parents were British.
Okay.
So my mom's from England, my dad's from the Isle of Man. So I grew up with, like, this weird British parents in New Jersey. And then I also lived in the Poconos, then moved to Nashville, and then finally made it to Vegas.
Why did they call you?
So at the time, I was working in film and television. It's kind of what I've done my whole life. Right out of high school, I just basically rewind a little bit. Music was always my first love. I was really into music. That's kind of what got me into everything. I think I was peaking in, like, the early 90s, like, when, like, the grunge era came out and all that, and that just set me off to be like, this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then playing music, I started making little, like, music videos. I had two VCRs, and I would, like, film stuff and then edit with the two VCRs, you know, like, fast forward and be like, play, record, and, like, make these little videos. And that's how I learned how to edit, how to shoot a camera, how to do sound, just self-taught, working on my own projects.
They saw your stuff?
I basically started in film first. Like, I was doing camera operator stuff, sound guy stuff, lighting, things like that, just a crew guy. And then probably around 2008-09, I really got into reality TV, like, just working shows, and I kind of made a name for myself in the New York Philly area as a go-to sound guy for reality TV. Ghost Adventures just got renewed. It was, like, their first order. They were getting renewed, but they would always hire a local sound guy wherever they would go. But if you're filming in the middle of Nebraska, something like that, you're not going to...
Yeah, no offense, Nebraska.
Yeah,
but,
no offense. Yeah, I'm sure there's a couple good ones there.
So they hired you as a sound guy?
They hired me as their sound guy.
And then how did that transfer to this?
Right? So fast forward, we're a small crew. It's very, like, you know, even to today, like, we've grown. We have more people that help us out, but we're still a very small crew. We still kind of very all hands-on doing it ourselves and becoming close friends. So about a year in, we went to Jamaica and we filmed at Johnny Cash's house in Jamaica, and it still left just as it was. Like, his shoes are there, his clothes are in the closet. And I didn't investigate then. So my job would be show up the first half of the show for the interviews, the research, the setups, kind of like that part of the show. And then they would go and investigate. I'm not involved. After that shoot, Zach showed me an EVP, which is electronic voice phenomena. When you record, there's nothing there, and you get a voice.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, Jay, like, does this sound like, I think we got a cool EVP at Johnny Cash's house, and he's playing it for me, and we're just in a car going to the next location, and you hear him say, do you like Johnny Cash's music? And you hear this, like, yeah, like, come through. And I'm just like, I mean, honestly, that sounds like Johnny Cash. So I was like, you know what you could do? You could take that EVP and you could do a waveform analysis, and then you could take a sample of Johnny Cash's voice and also do a waveform analysis and kind of overlay them and see if the frequencies in the voice line up. And he's like, you could do that? I'm like, yeah, I'm a tech nerd. That's what I do. So then he's like, well, you'll do that. So then he pulled me in front of the camera, and I did an analysis comparing this EVP to Johnny Cash's real voice. And
rest is history.
And there you go. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, because when I met you, you're like, I look at you as like, I don't really know as much about you, but I know you're on the Ghost Show, mm-hmm. and I also know you have a band.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, but you came in through the tech side.
Yeah.
Which is wild. So you really do have many avenues covered.
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, awesome. Even in my film career before that, I've been art director, gaffer, camera op, DP, like so many different projects. And it's been great, and I love that. And part of me still misses that. But what's nice is with our show being still hands-on, I'm still listed as a cinematographer for the show now.
So you
too.
Do that, and you're on camera.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a co-cinematographer, Lauren, who, like, she kind of does, and, like, the crew, that, like, especially when we're doing interviews. And, like, at this point, we have it such, you know, down in that we just know exactly what we want, what we're going to do. It always changes because there's different locations and different variables, but it's still, we have a formula now.
So I want to know your belief system. Mm-hmm. So do you, I've done a lot of, okay, so I've done Scream.
Yeah.
But it's not a ghost movie. It's a horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
I did Ghost Whisperer.
Okay.
Which was, you know, based on a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with Jack Osborne, and he has his, his ghost show.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been in and out of these worlds from fiction to non.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really saw stuff until recently that I felt like, that's odd.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely saw stuff with Jack.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't even really believe in vampires. So I had a guy on here that told me that Phil Spector.
Oh, right. He was a vampire?
He wouldn't enter a house unless you invited him in.
Oh, that's one of the signs of them for sure. I mean, I don't know. I've never met one specifically.
Maybe. How do you know?
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. I don't put it, you know, I'm not saying it's not possible. And in my field of work, you know, after 15 years, like, I've seen so much that there's times where I'm like, what else could there be? You know, what else could actually be like, holy shit, this is insane. And we'll go on an investigation and my mind still gets blown. And I'm still just like, I don't understand how that happens. And
give me an example of something that you definitely 100% believe was
a
phenomenon.
Yeah, there was a thing I remember watching on camera. We do a thing where we have like a nerve center, we call it, where it's like all the monitors, and I wire the cameras to come back, and I'll monitor nerve center and kind of be like, you know, watching for anything of remote control cameras to move around, look around. And I remember seeing there was a rock on the ground, probably about an hour more into the investigation. I literally see the rock lift off the ground and just go flying down the hallway completely by itself.
No.
Yeah.
How big was it?
It was like probably like that big, like just like a little rock. Like,
did everyone else see it?
No, like we saw it happen, and it actually hit Zach. He was down at the other end of the hallway, and it actually hit him. And he reacted like, what the hell was that? And I was like, I just saw this rock go flying.
It's on camera?
Yeah, and right away we rewound the footage and played it back, and you see it. You see this rock just sitting there the whole time.
And then it just lifts
up. And it just lifts up, goes flying down the hallway, and hits him. Like, it's not, like, the scariest thing, but, like, that to me just blew my mind. Like, the idea of physics and how that could actually happen. Like, there was, it's still to today, I'm like, I wish I could explain how that could just happen like that.
So yeah. That makes you believe.
Yeah, that makes me believe. There was another place more personal to me. We were doing an old saloon in Prescott, Arizona.
Mm.
And down in the basement, there was a crawl space. And they said that's where they felt like this evil entity was based. All the workers there, you know, felt like something was coming out of that crawl space. So I got sent into the crawl space by myself. And, you know, I'm crawling on my belly. It's only like maybe that much space to kind of get through.
They sent you in.
Yeah. And I'm crawling around. I have a camera. Full night vision, so it's pitch black. Nothing's really happening, so I start calling it out. I'm like, oh, if you're this big bad spirit that's scaring these people, like, do something, come on. Something grabs my leg, drags me backwards. I drop the camera in front of me, and you could see there's nothing behind me, and I actually get pulled back like a good 3 or 4 feet away from the camera. And I just lose my shit. I start kicking and yelling, and now all the it's all dusty, and I, you know, it just that to this day still like that will keep me up at night.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So you felt it.
Mm-hmm.
So you believe?
Yeah, I felt it, and then even when I watched the footage back, I was still like, "Holy shit!" Like, because I think in the moment I didn't fully grasp what was going on because it was so quick and intense. But like watching it and seeing me actually move backwards, and then there's nothing there pulling me was that's
and it's on camera.
Else. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. So what do you think ghosts are? Because I have my opinion.
Yeah. I think there's different types of things. I think I'm a big believer in energy. So I believe in like positive and negative energy, whether that's angels, demons, whatever you want to label it, however you want to describe it. I do believe there's positive and negative energy. And if you go to in a location that there was like a mass murder, massacre that occurred, that negative energy is still going to be there. It's going to be like in the walls. It's going to be in the ground. It's still there. And then I think there's what we call residual hauntings, where it's almost like a loop. Like it's just like this playing, like a record that just keeps going around and around. And then under the right circumstances, the right variables, with the right equipment, you can actually document some of this energy that's been going on. Like if you walked up and down the hallway here every day of your life and then you pass away, it makes sense like some of your energy might still be flowing in that space. And then you can pick it up through different devices in the right way. That makes sense to me.
Where does it come from, my energy? From my physical body?
Yeah, I mean, we know we all have an energy field. We all have, like, energy. You can actually measure that through different devices that we give off an energy. You know, and then some people, like, you can get into, like, theology and spirituality and things like, is that our consciousness? Is that our soul? Things like that. But, like, we know we can actually document scientifically that we do have an energy field. You know, and then, you know, like even just me touching this table and moving away, a bit of my energy is still right here. It might dissipate over time and it goes away. But if I do this every day of my life and then all of a sudden someone comes in here with the right equipment, they can catch some of that energy, you know, who knows, after I'm gone. You know what I mean? And be able to, you know, be like, oh, that's a ghost or it's a spirit, but it's more of that residual loop. The other type of haunting, which still that's what really blows my mind, is the intelligent haunting. The loop thing of energy makes sense, but we'll have things where like we actually have direct communication with spirits and they're responding back to us. So we'll ask questions, we'll get answers either through EVP or the spirit box or things like that, that are responding directly to our questions. Like they are aware of us, you know, and what we're asking them. We use another device called the XLS, which uses a series of infrared laser grid to map out a room. And we've had figures appear in that. And like, there's no one there. You're shooting in an empty space, but it maps a human figure. And then we've literally been like, oh, hi, like, how are you? And you'll see the figure like wave back to us.
No.
Yeah. We did a prison in Arizona once and there was a stage where like they'll let inmates like play in a band, things like that. And we had three or four people up there, and there's one that's going like this, there's one that's going like this, and then one like this singing.
All ghosts?
Yeah. And there was no one on the stage, but this device picked up and mapped at. There was three people there doing this, and we're all like, holy shit. And we watched, and they were like almost like performing for us, and then they suddenly just stopped. They were all there, but they stopped moving. We started applauding. They bow and then just vanish.
How is this not viral? How come I've never seen these clips?
I don't know. I don't know.
Dude, that's insane.
Right? Yeah, it's absolutely
insane. Why aren't
you
going crazy right now?
it's my life. It's what I'm in every week.
But how can you not believe?
Well, just the vampires.
What do you mean? Why wouldn't you believe a vampire?
Well, I mean, like I said, I don't believe they're not. I mean, I don't know.
Dude.
I haven't seen Don't Suck yet, so maybe that'll change my mind.
Appreciate the shout out.
We just worked with Matt, actually. We had him out on an investigation.
On Ghost?
Yeah.
That's so cool. Did he hit you up or you hit him up?
I forget. Him and Zach somehow got in connection. And then, yeah, we brought him out. We did it's going to be in the new season. We do an old casino that just shut down kind of by state line. And we brought him out there for that one.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Wow. That's good. Well, yeah. He played a very good vampire. So
right.
We have to see if he has
it. Maybe it'll make me believe then.
Have a reflection. Dude, there's just so much. Hold on, dude.
No worries.
It's like, have some coffee. Mm. Wait a minute. So, wow. So to me, I think like ghosts are something that's in another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And our senses can't pick it up.
I could see that. I remember we did the original Conjuring house that they based the movie off of. And we interviewed one of the daughters. So she was a little girl when she lived there. And it was her mother that like really got possessed and her father. And it was all them. And she was telling us that what her mother came to terms with, at first she was going crazy because she was seeing these spirits everywhere. What she came to understand was that all time is happening at the same time.
And tell me what that means.
Like, there is no linear time. Like, linear time is made up by us to organize and keep track of our daily life. But the idea that all time is happening at the same time. So everything that's happened, everything that is happening, and everything will happen is all really happening at the same time. And that under certain circumstances, this is what we don't know yet, that there's an overlap or there's a break, you know, like what we can call like a portal or something like that, that almost lets you see into that other time. You know, that's why, like, you know, if this used to be an old farmhouse or something, and like we've caught stuff where, like, you know, this is open right now, but then we catch a spirit going here and it just vanishes here. And then we find out originally, oh, there was a wall here or a door, you know. Like, it's still like we're seeing into that other time. And that's what she realized she was doing. And once she realized that, things calmed down and it wasn't as dark and scary, because it was like, oh, we're just sharing this experience with them. We're sharing this space. And for some reason, at that location, there's like a weird time overlap.
Dude, hold on, my brain. And in the dumbest way, because I talked about this on another pod in my solo, are you saying, well, Westworld is a great analogy.
Right.
You've seen Westworld. Mm-hmm. And so the robots become aware that they're robots because, let's just say, memory wasn't erased, actual computer memory.
Right.
And it has memories of another thing they did where they were a different type of robot.
Right.
Right. So it's like if you sold your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying, and then you wiped it, but then they say sometimes the old messages come through.
Right, it still pops up or something.
Is that, it's like that's the analogy?
Yeah, it kind of a analogy we've used before. It's kind of a weird one, but like it's almost like if you imagine like pieces of Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
Our time is a piece, past is a piece, whatever, and that they kind of overlay, and every once in a while those holes line up, and you can like...
Okay, so it's like in when you say all time exists at the same time, mm-hmm. it's just baffling to me. So right now, World War II is going on?
And in some plane of existence, that's the theory, yeah. And it also kind of plays into like quantum theory about how like all the possibilities, anything that can happen is happening at the same time, but your experience changes based on choices you make and your perspective. So, like, if you think about it, your perspective is from a single point in an infinitely growing inward and outward universe. So, like, you're only perceiving a certain element of it. But it's all happening all together.
Oh, my God. It's the end of Interstellar.
Kind of, yeah.
Which is harder, but becoming more and more, I don't want to say understandable, but factually, the way they did it was so amazing. So time exists all at the same time.
Right.
So to take the mystical stuff out of ghosts, you're making it scientific, which I like.
Yeah.
So now if this was an Indian burial ground, if this was a studio, if this was a crack house, now it's this nice, cool, modern, you know, pod studio.
Right.
You're saying time everywhere exists at the same time, or you're saying... time exists all at once for this particular location.
I think all across the board. I think it's across the board.
But right now, there's string theory.
Right, we're perceiving this reality of this space.
But there could be a harlot. There could be a caveman.
Right.
There could be...
yeah. They could be seeing us as a ghost.
Wow. And so ghosts are the leak-throughs.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
And then that's the weird part, like, but it's how still it happens, existing. Why it happens. Right, it's still existing.
You're still saying it's still happening.
Yeah, like they're living their life, they're doing their thing, but for some reason at that time we're able to peer into their
But
reality.
How is it 1862 and also 2025
well, that's
right
just,
now?
That's just
how?
Those are just numbers. Those are just numbers that humans made up.
But
like
that's
used
what
to
we're
be like, this is one, this is two, this is 1994, this is 1990. You know, it's just numbers made up, really.
But that's what we did. I did, and when you liked grunge,
right?
Okay, I was just breaking into Hollywood, and you were probably 11. So
like that, yeah.
I liked Nirvana,
yeah,
and you liked Nirvana,
yeah.
But we can both say that was 34 years ago,
right?
So how is that?
Well, that's just
it happened. We remember the memory,
right? Because we
Nirvana's not now.
Our experience, we went through it. You know what I mean? We
Soundgarden, Nirvana,
right.
Pearl Jam. They released albums on a timeline that we all remember,
right? But like, you get into things that like kind of mess it all up when you get into like Mandela effects and things. How like there's these weird shifts and changes, and you know, I don't believe all of them are accurate. I think a lot of them are. You know, people go crazy with that stuff. But like, you know, there's weird things about like, I don't know if you've ever, or like deja vu, things like that.
Deja vu feels like a memory wipe that jumped in, like one of those memories from someone's phone.
Exactly. Like I've done this before. Maybe that was an alternate version of me that did this or something else. And there's this weird crossover kind of thing, you know, or like, I mean, you can go, there's so many theories that I've studied too. And like, they all make sense on levels. I'm not 100% on any of them, but I like aspects of them all and still like using them all to kind of try to figure out what's going on.
Dude, what's fascinating is you're such a down-to-earth dude in such a wildly crazy world.
Yeah.
Like you, you are very rational from the little bit I know you. Mm. But it's fascinating that you look at this with emotionless. No emotion.
Well, I think it's...
And you do believe in certain things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, I still don't understand how you don't believe in a vampire.
I mean, like, I know, like, for example, when I was... Like, I'm a nerd. I've always been a nerd. Like, when I was in high school, I had a... It was like a trigonometry pre-calculus class. And the first semester, got A's, did really good. I studied, learned some stuff, and I had an idea. And I realized what I learned, I could use that to apply, and I started doing my own mathematical equations. And I ended up, the rest of the year, I just worked on my own equations, and I mathematically equated that we only experience about a billionth of 1% of the known reality. And then I remember at the end of the year, I went to my teacher, and she's like, you failed the class. And I was like, but look, this is what I've been doing. And she's like, yeah, but you failed the test. You didn't hand in any homework, and I ended up getting an F in the class. But I actually took, when you think about it, what I basically did, not to get too crazy with it, what our reality is based on is our five senses, right? What we can see, what we can hear, what we can smell, what we can taste, and what we can feel. All that is measurable on a scale. So like hearing, we know there's like a dog whistle. So a dog can hear that. So that sound exists, but we can't hear it. Infrasound, you know, is really low frequencies. We can't hear that. So basically, I took every sense that we have, even smells. Like, once again, dogs can smell things better than we can. We can see things, but we can't see infrared light. We can't see UV light. We can't see gamma radiation, things like that. But we know it exists. So I basically took the known universe, what we know of, like, from, you know, there's all different numbering systems, but like 0 to 100 of what we know to exist as visual. How much do we actually experience of that, and then how much do we experience of that with sound and touch and feeling? And I broke it all down, and literally what we experience is about a billionth of 1% of what we know to exist.
Wait, how did you even go about, how old were you?
This was high school, so like maybe, what is it, 11th grade?
Why did you do that?
I was just a weird kid. I was just this weird skater kid, musician kid that just, I don't know.
So you broke it down. You went on the internet and like ran numbers?
No, this was before the internet. This was like maybe like, this was like, it was like late 90s. So we probably like AOL dial up. But
so wait, so you went and figured it out. How did you come up with the numbers?
Yeah, all by hand in a notebook. Well, I looked up. I would research. I'd go to the library, find books and be like, okay, what, basically what do we know as, you know, like the hearing.
Was that proven true?
I don't know. I've never really
published
it or did anything. That's what I came up with.
And you gave it to your teacher and she wasn't amazed?
No, she was just like, all right, you didn't do the homework or pass tests. I was like, all right. I think I did more than needed.
What was the test?
It was just trigonometry. But I was thinking, I never studied. Like, once I started doing that, you know, I would just go to class and work on that stuff, and I never studied. So when we would take a test, I would fail and never did my homework, and, you know.
Because you were too busy figuring out the theory of the universe.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I was just like, I think it's just it's a desire to know the unknown. You know, I grew up, I was a youngest kid of three. I had two older brothers. I still have two older brothers. I shouldn't say I did. And I think I had the freedom to explore, you know, like, I was kind of like a free range child in a sense where like I could explore. I wasn't brought up in one specific religious type belief system or anything. And I was fascinated by all of it. I was fascinated by the world, and I just wanted to learn and kind of understand things and just kind of figure out what it all is. And I studied different religions, different belief systems, even things like that, like early quantum physics and understanding of what, you know, scientifically our world is. And I think it's always just been a fascination. And then fast forward, and I can actually, you know, explore these theories and things and put them to test in the field, you know, studying the paranormal.
So the time thing is, I'm tripping on this. And Mandela effect, I see that all the time.
Right.
Do you guys talk about CERN on your show?
We haven't, but that's always interesting to me.
Have you seen a portal?
I've documented portals.
Every time I do that, right? You know what they think.
Right.
I'm not. I just literally, my hands do natural things.
Right. It's,
But they think you're a Satanist.
Right.
But I talk about, I'm not. But here's what's crazy. Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You want to sound so fucking crazy, and I go back to this question.
Yeah.
And someone said it in the comments the other day. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I say the number 33 a lot when I'm using examples.
Okay.
And you know what 33 is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, weird things pop up like that. There's weird connections. There's weird theories. I think, like, I don't know. Like,
but let's go to portals.
Yeah, yeah.
The portals, because you see TikTok. Mm-hmm. Have you done anything with mirrors?
Yeah.
Is there truth to that?
So there's different things. What I know of
something
mirrors.
Something called a true mirror.
I'm not sure what that might be, but I know scrying. Scrying was a big thing that's existed.
What is that?
It's basically like, it's kind of more of an ancient art where mysticists would look into a mirror and just stare, like almost like a crystal ball, and kind of look into
it. So mirror on the wall.
Right, and they would get visions, things like that. There's also a thing called a psychomantium, where if you take multiple mirrors and you basically have a mirror, if you put a mirror in front of you and a mirror behind you, so it creates an infinite loop.
Yes.
And that's called a psychomantium, which that has supposed mystical abilities.
Yes. Okay. So do you ever see the TikTok where the guy with frequency mates a portal in his room in Arizona? By the way, you said Arizona a few times.
Yeah.
They say it's one of the top beds.
Oh, yeah. I think I opened a portal in Arizona, actually.
Talk to me.
So we were doing this house. At first, it was like, this is the craziest shit ever. We met a guy, no offense, I am a believer, but at the beginning it was like, all right, this is crazy. This guy claimed that he killed 20-something gray aliens with a samurai sword in his house, and that they would come and try to abduct his wife almost every night. One time they lifted her out of bed, moved her through the house, came outside, was raising up to her the UFO, and he got his AK-47 and shot it, and they dropped her. And
well, he has that samurai sword.
Right. Well, that was, you know, she was raising up to the ship, so... You know.
Wait, did he do a samurai sword or an AK?
AK that time, but over the course of a few years, every time like gray aliens would appear in their bedroom at night and you would get a samurai sword and cut them and they would just vanish.
What part of Arizona?
Sedona? It was near, towards Phoenix, I think.
Okay.
It was still kind of out.
So there's something with the desert and the rocks.
100%.
Go ahead. Okay, keep going.
And so at first it was like, okay, this is... Really, like 20-something gray aliens. Like, it just sounds crazy. But he felt like, and we interviewed friends, people like that, and they were saying that there was, like, an alien portal in his house. So what I did, I basically set up a frequency experiment. And it's pitch black. There's a little bit of ambient light here. And I start dialing different infrasound, like, which is basically sound that's just outside of our hearing range or super low frequencies. And I'm trying different frequencies just to see what resonates. And the idea of it is, if you know resonance theory, like the typical opera singer that sings that high note and the glass breaks. That glass breaks because the frequency that they're hitting with their voice is the same frequency the glass is vibrating at. And it literally shakes itself apart and it breaks.
And that, wait, so that's a real thing.
Yeah. So like if you can match the frequency of the earth, you could literally like blast the earth apart with sound.
How do people not do that?
It's just we don't have the speakers or the capability to match it.
So sound is a healing thing, they say.
Absolutely. Well, you think about sound is vibration. Everything is vibration. You break us down to the smallest atom. We're just little vibrating atoms.
Why? But we're made up. That's what they say. So that's what we are, and it makes us take a shape.
Yeah.
Do you know about the bell theory?
Not sure.
They took a lot of bells away during the ancient.
Oh, right, because they would create the sound.
Healing.
That's when you look at like old temples, things like that, they're designed in this certain way to have the sound, you know, resonate in a certain way.
Sound bath is a big thing coming back.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go in.
So I'm in the house, I'm trying different frequencies, and I finally dial one in, and it feels like the space in the room itself is vibrating. Like, just so I'm like, all right, I'll leave this one on.
How do you create the frequency from a machine?
Basically, I just have a big loudspeaker, and I have it's just an app, and you can literally manually dial in different frequencies.
Fucking portal through an app.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead.
And then just blasting it into the space and kind of like finding it and like kind of using your body to kind of feel what's happening in the space and trying different frequencies. And then finally, there's one where it starts just vibrating. Like, you just feel the space vibrating. So
like
I leave
what?
It on like, that. Yeah, it's just like almost like a like static energy. Like you feel like static in the air, something like that. It was
like when you
like
feel
that.
like when you feel a bass thumping against you. Is that what it is?
Kind of, but it's not. It was like it wasn't a bass. It was like you know, like if like I don't know, like if like something staticky and you feel it and you feel that tingle vibration. It was like the whole room suddenly started doing that. So I left it on for a while and it kept building and building. And I swear, like, I started seeing over, like, through, like, little ambient lights through maybe some windows, I saw these dark creatures, like, that were kind of, like, gray alien-ish shaped start moving around. And I would just catch these, and I would look, and it would be gone. And I would see it over here, and I'd look, and it would be gone.
This was on the show?
Yeah.
Did you guys film them?
Yeah.
You have them?
We call it weird shadows. Like, we don't see it as thing, but we call it straight-up shadows moving around. So what I was seeing was documented.
So this guy feels that he's got a portal in his house?
Yeah, and for some reason, whatever reason, these gray aliens are coming through there. And
is his wife alive?
Yeah.
And he killed them, but was no blood.
Right, there was no blood. He said as soon as he would hit them, they would just kind of
dissipate.
You know, yeah, and just vanish.
Were they malevolent?
He thinks so. He didn't feel like they were... You know, up
friendly.
To, like, friendly. Like, they were trying to, like, experiment or do something like that, which is different. I don't know if you know who Travis Walton is.
Mm-mm.
He was the original guy. They made that movie Fire in the Sky.
Yes.
Yes.
When I was a kid.
Yeah. It's a creepy movie. But, like, so he's, like, the real story. He's the guy that got abducted. We ended up interviewing him, and he took us to the place where, like, the alien dropped him off in the phone booth where he went and made the phone call. And what he said, he thought the gray aliens were actually helping him. He thinks they came across it by accident. And when he got out of that car to go up to the ship, he got too close and got like fried with radiation. And then the UFO, the aliens were like, oh, shit, we heard him. And then they brought him up, did medical stuff and made him feel better. One of the things he said he thinks that is because he's been healthy his whole life now. He's been great. All his friends that were there in the car that stayed in the car, like if the UFO was over here, they've all developed different cancers on that side of their body that faced where the UFO was, and he's been totally fine.
Whoa. So is he alive today?
Yeah.
And very healthy?
Yeah.
How old is he?
I'm not sure. He's got to be getting up there, no offense or anything, but I'm sure he's, you know, this, I forget when this took place, but he's definitely older. But he talks about it a lot. He does like conventions, things like that. Now.
You guys do ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
But you cross to aliens.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a natural crossover. And there's times where I'm thinking like, oh, we might think it's a ghost, but like maybe it is an alien or something else, you know?
So with UFOs, mm-hmm. do you consider them aliens, from another world, mm-hmm. an off-planet entity, if you believe in other planets?
Right.
Or are they interdimensional beings, yeah. which they also say then mix mm-hmm. with demons?
Yeah, I think it could all be multiple things. I do believe that it could be interdimensional. Like, you have things, even through all ancient history, you have, like, leprechauns and fairies and, you know, these mythical creatures, and even Bigfoot. And that's, like, one of the theories about Bigfoot not being able to capture them is because they can actually, you know, go through these different dimensions or maybe different timelines or whatever it actually really is. And then we only catch them for a split second and then they're gone. So that makes sense to me. That could be a possibility. One of the big theories that I like to think about, and I tend to believe, that at least the gray alien is actually a future version of ourselves.
Why?
So if you study, like, anthropology and human evolution, like, a good example is our wisdom teeth, right? Our mm-hmm. wisdom teeth give us hell. And it's because we're in the middle of an evolutionary step. Our bottom jaw has actually been moving inward and shrinking this way. So, like, that's why we have issues. And our frontal cortex, all this is growing bigger. So you fast forward that growth, you fast forward that human evolution, our chins get small and our heads get big. Now you add in, like, a mass disaster, asteroid or whatever you will, and humans are forced to live underground. We're not going to have sunlight, so we'll lose pigmentation in our skin. So we'll get kind of a grayish color. To be able to see in lower light, dark, our eyes will have to get bigger.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So it kind of, like, you put all that together and it kind of becomes what the typical gray alien is.
Is this a known theory or is this your theory?
I think I thought about it originally. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not taking claim, but, like, I remember
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's FORHERS.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Talking about it, because I remember I took an anthropology class, and that's when it clicked to me. Since then, I heard someone talking about it on Joe Rogan's. Like, people have talked about like the theory that they're future us, you know. But I don't know if I've heard people like break it down from such like an evolutionary scale. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's like that makes sense.
Yeah. And then who knows? Like in their future, for whatever reasons, they've developed the ability to come back or. Not even come back, or like as we're saying, if it's not linear, like, but be able to pass through into our time. Like, if you look at time to kind of go back to like our weird time enigma we had, like, maybe not looking at time as time, but looking at time as different dimensions.
But explain that to me because I'm fascinated by it. I mean, you have so much, I could have you on for 10 hours, but okay. It's like, I have to figure this out. Like, go slow.
Okay.
How is it a different dimension? How is Friday a different dimension than Thursday?
Right. Well, it's not even Thursday or Friday. It's more about what happened or what could happen.
Well, the sun goes up.
Right.
They put us in this loop.
Right.
So it's like a new day.
Right. But that's the thing. The way we perceive things, the way we understand it, makes sense. Because that's the thing. Our brain naturally wants to make sense of things. It wants to order things. You know, like. There's a whole idea that technically what everything we see is upside down and our brain's actually flipping the image. Like we know that from the way light enters the eye, it flips the image like almost like a lens on a camera that like changes stuff. So like our whole perspective of our world is not what it really is, you know, and what you see isn't what I see. Like, you know what I mean? Like my world exists from like here to here. Your world is that way. Like, I don't know what exists back there. You know,
well, I see it there.
Right.
And you assume that it's there.
Right. And we make assumptions. We have an understanding of like what's probably there. But there's a whole idea like I don't know if I fully go into it, but there's the whole idea of like even simulation theory.
Of course.
And how like what we perceive it's is rendering. Actually like it's rendering as we move. Yeah. Like it doesn't exist right now for me. But as soon as I turn
but
around,
I see it.
It exists. Right.
I see it.
Yeah.
So it's there for me.
Right. But then there could be a version of you right now that, you know, wore a blue jacket in some reality. Like there's the idea that every version.
Everything all at once.
Everything that could happen is happening. And our perspective is what narrows it down to be like, this is what we're perceiving right now. But theoretically, all that stuff is still existing. But our perspective, our reality is just one of those options.
When are we going to be able to see it?
I don't know. I think we are at times. I think that's what a lot of these unknown phenomena are. I think this is what a lot of things that are deemed as paranormal, you know, or, you know, ghosts, things like that, or Mandela effects or deja vu. Like all these things are little pieces of these, you know, us being able to see that but not understand what it is.
Did Sinbad make Shazam?
Or I mean, I thought so.
Do you remember that movie?
I think so. Like it, now, like you question it, of course, but like it feels like it really happened.
Okay. Do you believe in werewolves?
I believe in shapeshifters. I believe in skinwalkers.
Okay, I gotta talk to you about that, but. Yeah. $6 Million Man. Do you ever watch the show?
Like the old one? Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Do you remember the episode with Bigfoot?
I don't think so, no.
It's a two-parter.
Okay.
So this is what's got me tripping, bro. Do you believe in predictive programming?
Somewhat. I believe in like, depending on what you're talking about, but like the idea of like manifestation. Like some of the stuff
you believe
in
and you don't believe
stuff.
Other stuff.
Right.
No, predictive programming.
Okay.
So when I was a kid, there was an episode, $6 Million Man. This was when you watch TV.
Yeah.
And it was Bigfoot. And I think it was a two-parter.
Okay.
And it was Steve Austin. He had the powers, like $6 million. He was Bigfoot. But they also had Bigfoot going through this weird tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like circular. And then there was also, I want to say, a triangle. And I'm telling you, it was, as a kid, I was like, that's just not Bigfoot. It was weird.
Yeah.
So to me, as I've gotten older, it was Bigfoot. They kind of connected to him to the pyramids, space, time travel, some sort of mysticism.
Right.
Now, when you go to Universal, when they had the attraction,
yeah,
you went through it.
Okay.
Now, Land of the Lost. That show is way deeper than anyone realizes.
I'm sure.
Because also the triangle has to do with the pyramids, which could be space, which also could be Illuminati, right, which they're basically paying homage to space and these other powers.
Right.
Okay. Land of the Lost had time travel.
Mm-hmm.
It also had pyramids, like some type of laser stuff.
Yeah.
Creatures of like cavemen that also had like touch to mysticals. Okay. If you look in certain like movies like Clockwork Orange.
Right.
And it had Sleestaks.
Right.
Which to me represent reptilians.
Yeah.
So these shows, now I say predictive programming because they put it out there. They programmed me as a child. I didn't know any of this stuff. And now, 40 years later or 45 years later, and I'm like, wait, that talked about this, this talked about this, this talked about. So they say they put it out there, which goes into a deeper conversation.
Right, like the bigger powers that be know these things exist, but they kind of sprinkle it into us.
Well, I can't stop saying this stuff, but I talk about it. But it basically goes into belief if you believe that Satanism is everywhere.
Right.
Not like the, but like, and basically one of the rules of that is like, I'm going to reveal everything to you.
Right.
And then that way my karma is good. So whatever, if all this stuff existed, it was put in there through the powers that be.
Right.
Since the beginning of time.
You. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Because it was, it's just weird worlds.
Right.
And I'm just fascinated by it, but you've got me so on a rabbit hole. I'm trying to stay focused.
That's right.
But it's so good because you're so chill about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I have to be because there's times where, like, I've experienced things that I'm like, this blows my mind. Like, I don't know. I don't understand it. Like, I would probably go crazy if I didn't. Like, so I've tried
to. Are you on Adderall?
No. No. Nothing.
Mushrooms?
No.
Okay, let me ask you this. Does your partner in crime, does he go crazy with it?
I mean, we all go into it for sure. Different levels. I'm more like,
are you the most rational person?
There's
the
definitely
set?
Like, I guess like they've nicknamed me in the past like the theorist because I like to piece things together. I'm like the guy that's like, all right, this is all that's happened. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And that's why, like, I don't say I don't believe, but I'm never, I don't buy anything 100%. Like, I'm like, all right, it could be this, maybe it's this, maybe it's this. And then, but then I could turn around and argue with myself and be like, oh, well, it could also be this, or maybe it's that, you know.
I'm gonna ask you questions. I'll start simple.
Yeah.
Intuition is just what?
I think intuition could be a few things. I think I've had stuff as like a younger kid where like you go to a party, you're at a party, and I would have these like feelings where it's like all of a sudden I'm having a good time, and all of a sudden like I think I got to get out of here. Like I'm gonna go to the Wawa, you know, like I got to get out of here. And then I go there, and then as soon as I left, the cops raided the party or something like that. What that is, if it's, you know, there's belief like it could be spirit guides, like, you know, other spirits that know these things because there is no time. There's a crossover, so they know, like, oh, this is about to happen, and it's almost like a warning, like, if you have, like, guardian angel or spirit guides or ancestors that are watching over you, things like that, that's a belief. That's the comforting belief. That's nice to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also, like, the idea of positive and negative energy and just certain people. I think we all can be in tune to it, but our regular lives and modern society, we kind of lose that ability. You know, I think when we're born, we all are connected more to the earth, to spirituality, to space, to everything. We have a more of a, understanding and a connection, but as we grow older, we kind of lose that. So is it almost like Spider-Man getting spider sense? Like, you know, it's like you're picking up on that negative energy that's coming your way. You know, you might not know, like, oh, it's this that's happening, but you're like, something's not right. Something's about to happen. And,
gotcha.
You know, you kind of dip out or you avoid that situation.
Werewolves could be shapeshifters. Dracula, you're not so sure about. Aliens, do you believe in space?
Yeah. There's
some people that believe that space is fake.
No, I mean, it's...
Do you believe in the firmament?
No, I'm not a flat earther or anything.
Okay. Do you believe that Antarctica is very shady?
I think there's probably a lot going down there that we don't know. It makes sense because it's one of the most hardest places to reach, so why not have crazy bases and things down there? You know, it would make sense. I don't think, you know, I believe that there probably is bases. I believe it was like, you know, there's probably civilizations buried under there, even just, you know, historically and, you know, from archaeologist kind of thing. I feel like there probably is civilizations that one day we'll get to them and be like, oh, wow. Like,
well, none of us are allowed to go.
Right.
That's weird.
Right.
Area 51, also weird.
Right. Yeah. I think there is a lot of programs and things that go on that try to explore these things and do these things, like the whole, you know, like MK Ultra stuff. And
that was real.
Yeah. That was
it is real.
Like stuff we know, like there's documents now that they did this remote viewing. The government put money into researching remote viewers and using psychics to kind of like spy on Russia and things like that. And, you know, so like, you know, the higher ups, the government that you would think would be not into that stuff at all, they actually explore these things. You know, they put money into it. They're aware of these things. So, I mean, Antarctica would be a good spot if you are going to, you know, create weird, you know, advanced things. That would be a place to do it.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, we have so many versions of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And with quantum computing, I feel like we're breaking the seal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to, like...
How often every day is something come through a porthole in your mind? How far are we from multiple universes converging?
I mean,
seeing crazy shit.
I think the craziest idea is that it happens every choice you make. Every time you make a choice in your life, you know, you're at a crossroad. You can go this way or that way. You know what I mean? Which you think about the choices you make every day, there's, I can't even count how many.
I'm starting to wonder if we really do make the choices, though. I'm starting to believe that we're led.
Right. It could be. There could be some, you know, even if there is these multiple versions, maybe there is someone that's, like, guiding us to be, like, we need these things to happen this way, you know, for whatever the end result is or whatever, you know. Maybe for the greater good, hopefully.
Have you guys ever discovered any clones?
No, we've ran into mimics.
What is a mimic?
That was
another movie that was made.
Right. So we've gotten voices, EVPs. We've heard disembodied voices that you just hear with your own ears that sound like one of us or someone that's known or, you know, like it's basically like if we were here right now and we recorded, you know, we're recording this, obviously, but say you go back and right in the middle of it, you hear your voice and you're like, I never said that. Like, I know for a fact you could check the cameras. We didn't say that, but it sounds just like you. Like, that's a mimic, like whatever, you know, if it's a spirit or an entity or something, it's mimicking you in a way, which usually leads to not good things. It usually becomes darker. It's usually a negative, you know, type of haunting.
Okay, so we've talked, what about demons?
Yeah.
Are they real?
I think demons are real in the sense, I don't personally believe in any one particular religion. So I think the name demon thing like plays into religious beliefs, but I do believe a demon can exist in the fact that it's an all extremely negative being. You know, like when you think of humans, you think hopefully more good than bad, or maybe like a little bit of a mix. But demons would be, if you imagine the ultimate negative, like 100% negative.
You know what the night hag is?
Is that the like the old lady one?
It's an ex-wife who drains your bank account. No, the night hag is when you're in your bed
And then you're like, you breathe heavy, or you feel like you're going around your room or whatever. And they say through different things, there's drawings of it, and it's like a hag sitting on your chest.
Okay.
And you can't see it.
Right.
But because you just made me think about that, because that a lot of people experience that. I'm going to tell you two things. I'm going to tell you about aliens and then witches. Don't let me forget that. Okay, so aliens. There have been times, so I have a heart issue. And sometimes my heart will flutter, you know, AFib.
Yeah.
So I never knew if this was AFib or if I was getting, leaving my body.
Okay, yeah.
But I, this one is so clear to me. One time I was living in Koreatown, 93, 32 years ago, and I was in a one-room apartment, like it was really broke. And I would sleep, and I was just starting to get, like, little things. Like, I had a rice cooker, and I had a futon mattress, and I was really broke. But I was really 100% no job and just every day trying to do comedy.
Yeah.
And at one point, my body, I was asleep, and this is what I felt.
Yeah.
And then I felt like I was going above, not that I saw it. And it was a weird, it wasn't a good feeling. And then I had to like do something to move. And on there, I just moved. It was so clear. I went, and I had to move to be wherever I was again.
Right.
But that was as real as something out of my normal realm that I had experienced. Yeah, now, I don't know what it was. And I've had versions of that a few times.
I feel like
I don't know if it was this fluttering heart.
Right. I mean, I've felt things kind of like that. I don't think I have a heart issue, at least I know. But I've had like anxiety and panic attacks that have caused that. And you feel that like jolting, you know. But like it could be something like, I don't know. I'm just theorizing right now in the moment. But like, what if, you know, when you're crossing over, or you're going into these other, not dying necessarily, but like. But also maybe that is what dying is. You're crossing over into another reality or something like that, whether it's temporarily or more permanent. And it's such a shock, like your body is kind of like, whoa, like, you know, this is weird, or, you know, it's not normal. Or I don't want to say it's like, you know, people say like, oh, we're going to the light, and they're like, go back, it's not your time kind of thing. But your body's like kind of going with it, and it's, you know, somehow going to another place, whether it's another dimension or another timeline or something like that.
Because you're aware of you're there, but then you're over here.
Right. You're definitely, like, disassociated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Like, this is our mortal coil. If we can somehow figure out what consciousness is, then we'll get all these answers.
Oh, yeah. That's what I love doing what we do. Like, I feel like I'm constantly able to just explore these things. And, you know, another thing that's rare in the TV world, we have 100% creative control, too. So we're
able
to just do whatever we want.
That's crazier than any entity you'll ever discover.
Right, yeah.
The fact you have that.
Yeah.
Not one note on an edit?
Usually if they do, it's more like legal. Like, you know, like we did a special out at the Tiger King Zoo.
Is it haunted?
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on there.
Why?
Well, like his boyfriend accidentally killed himself in the gift shop. There was reports of like two PETA protesters being killed in the back that like hopped the fence. This is all kind of like, it was in the episode, so we can talk about it, but like it was kind of like secret. We actually ended up bringing out cadaver dogs to, there was rumors that, you know, Joe had someone in the alligator pit. So we brought, it's all dried up now. We brought cadaver dogs out, and they hit on something out there.
But you didn't find a body.
Well, we had to shut down. The police came. They were digging. They didn't find anything. They waited. The sun started going down, and they were kind of like, eh, we're not seeing anything. We're going to leave. And we're like,
the dog was hunting.
Right. Like, this is what they do. They're like emergency trained dogs to like find people in tornadoes and things, you know. So, like, I believe the dogs, but...
Yeah.
They kind of just were like, they cut it short.
They definitely send something because I've worked with them before.
Yeah.
What about witches?
Yeah, I believe in witches. I grew up, like, I know witches and...
What do you mean you know a witch?
I know witches.
Like who?
Just friends, people.
But a witch or a witch?
I mean, they practice magic.
They're Wiccans?
Not even necessarily. Like, I feel like there's different levels. There's...
I'm talking a real witch.
Right, that are actually, like, out doing things and... I mean, there's a whole...
say there's white witches and dark witches.
Right, and then even just, like, you know, there's people that can be use witchcraft as, like, self-manifestation and, like, using things like that just to kind of, like, create their destiny or alter their timeline, if you will, you know?
So, have you done an episode with witches?
Yeah, we've...
Do you, but like, here's the thing. Yeah. So, I believe that, like, people do spells every day.
Yeah.
And that it's actually, they always say, oh, this is this, like, so here's one, like Lady Gaga was just on SNL.
Mm.
She did this whole witch ceremony in a skit.
Gotcha, yeah.
So going back to my theory is people can go, it's just a skit. But by actually doing it.
You're still doing it.
You're stealing it. It's like doing a, it's like doing a porno.
Right.
There's two different versions, right?
Like, I wasn't good, so it doesn't count. Like, no, you're still doing it.
No, you know? So it's like if you do a love scene where you simulate sex in a regular Hollywood movie, you're not having sex.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't mean there's not a connection.
Right.
Or it could be just a job and both people kiss and touch parts of their body, but they're done. Okay? I know people, porno chicks... that they're actually doing it, and they say, well, I'm just acting. And I'm like, no, it's actually, like you're doing the act.
So, but
they could, they could say, well, I wasn't into it as much as I was.
Right.
Okay, but you did it. Where in Hollywood, they're not going to actually do it.
Right.
You'll do stuff that leads to it. So
it's not a Lars von Trier film.
Yes. So if you're doing, so it's like when you do it, you could say, if you're in a porn, and you can say, I did it, but I wasn't into it.
Right.
But you did it.
You still did it, yeah.
So that's how I look at these spells on TV when they say, oh, it's a skit. You still did it.
Exactly. And, like, I've encountered, you know, sometimes we go to locations and we'll find rituals left over. And what's scary to me is almost when people don't know what they're doing and they try to do it. Like, even if they're, like, just messing around and they're just kids that are just like, oh, we want to mess around and try these things. You're still opening up stuff. And the fact you don't know how to do it, you don't know how to control it, you don't know how to shut it down is almost even more dangerous than actually doing it and whatever your intentions are.
Like, what's an example of doing it, not knowing how to shut it down?
So when I was probably around 18, 19 years old, I was playing in a band and we wanted to go. We were like, all right, band practice over. Let's play the Ouija board.
Oh, this is what everyone's coming hard for these things now. They're not a joke anymore.
Oh,
are
no,
they?
Not at all.
They're not a joke.
No,
they never were.
No.
Right.
And this was like, this is probably literally year 2000, I think maybe 99, 2000. And
so you're like 17.
Yeah, this is, or it was, I graduated 2000. So it was, must've been the summer of 2000. It was
so
like right
18.
After, you know, first year out of high school or first summer out. And, we're like,
by Cherry Hill.
Yeah. And we're like, let's go all out. Let's find anything ritualistic we can.
Why?
We just wanted to get creeped out. We were just, we're like, we want to experience. We probably, who knows, we probably saw some movie. And we're like, oh, we want to get scared and creeped out. So we got the Ouija board. We got incense. We got a little dish to put water in. We had candles. We had a dagger. Basically anything ritualistic we could find. We're like, let's do this. And kind of set it up all around the Ouija board. And we start doing the Ouija board.
Just out of the blue, you're doing
the
hodgepodge.
Yeah, and just kind of put together whatever we can. But we were like, we want to go out ritualistically. We want to try to, you know, put that energy into it, even though none of us knew what we were doing.
Okay.
So we put it all in there. We're doing it. And all of a sudden, we start talking to the spirit.
Where did you put it? You mean on the right side of the board?
Yeah, just like around it, you know, just
and
around
the
board.
And you just bought a board at the store?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just in the toy aisle, you know, where they sit.
Okay.
And so we're doing it, and it says we're speaking to supposedly a little boy spirit, and it says its name is Z-O-Z-O, and I'm just like, all right.
And the person doing it felt their hand move?
Yeah, it was me. There was a few of us. Like,
did you feel like your hand was being guided?
No, but I know I wasn't moving it, so I do know that.
So it was being guided.
Right. So, I mean, who knows? You know, I don't think anyone else was moving it on purpose, but at this time we're doing that. But what was weird, outside of the Ouija board, I noticed the incense smoke would blow and go down to the dagger. And I was like, that's kind of weird. So I picked up the dagger, put it over here. Incense smoke changed, went down to the dagger. It's like, all right. It's like, guys, check this out. So I'm moving the dagger. Everywhere I'd move the dagger, the incense smoke would change, go towards the dagger.
Whoa.
So I was like, all right, this is kind of weird. This is a little creepy. So then I asked the board, I said, are you attracted to the dagger? And it says yes. So I'm like, okay. And then I asked the stupidest question I've ever asked my whole life. I say, can you come through the dagger into us?
Oh, no.
And it says, goes right to yes, you know. And I'm like, all right. So we all stop for a minute. We're like, all right, like, what are we going to do? Like, this is what we wanted, right? We want to get creeped out. We want to go all the way with this. So we're like, what are we going to do? So we're like, well, screw it. Let's do it. So my friend and I, we both decide we're both going to hold the dagger. It has a sheath, so you can hold on to the blade end. And we both lay down on the ground parallel, and we're holding on to it like this. And all of a sudden, we're like, okay, you can come through us now. I got this instant overwhelming feeling of sadness. Like, it's so hard to explain, but it was just sadness from, like, my toes up to my head, just, like, in my bones. Like, you know when you get so cold, you feel it in your bones? It was like that, but sadness. It was so surreal. And my buddy jumps up, knees on my shoulders, and he's trying to pull the dagger out of the sheath. He ends up breaking it because you have to press a little button. It snaps, it breaks it open, and lunges it towards my throat. I'm holding him. He's on top of me, so he has the force, the gravity, everything. The blade's now past my chin. I know that, and I'm shaking, holding him back as hard as I can. This probably goes on for about 30 seconds. He goes totally limp, full tears, crying, has no idea what happened. And at that point, we're like, we're done. Like, this is too much.
What did everybody else do?
They were just in shock. They just couldn't believe it. Like, they were just like, is this really happening? And then everyone was just like, we were all shaken up. We were just like, it was like almost like a PTSD. We're all just like, we don't want to talk about it. We don't, let's just all go home now. And we all just went home. And, you know, but that's like an example of like messing around with stuff that you don't understand and you don't know and trying to be doing more than you know what you're doing.
So do you think a spirit came through the board?
Yeah.
Into the dagger.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to kill you?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So then
not talking about it, it's bringing it back.
So
we don't have a thing around us.
No. I brought a Ouija board if you want to. So to bookend that story, fast forward, you know, years later, I'm on the show. We're doing a case in Oklahoma where this guy claims this demon came through a Ouija board. And at this point, you know, I've told the story sometimes, like, but at this point, I never told the story.
You cleanse yourself from this stuff?
Oh, yeah.
And there's a way to do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So he's telling us a story about this demon that comes through, and apparently it's a world-known thing. Is this phenomena that happens all around the world with Ouija boards where this demon comes through named Zozo. Z-O-Z-O. Which, back in the day, I had no idea. I was like, that's a weird name. And he says this, and I'm like, shit. Like, I was like, and I didn't say anything. I was like, okay, tell us more, you know. And he's like, yeah, this demon came through, and it tormented his life, blah, blah, blah. So we get to the investigation part, and we're like, someone should do the Ouija board with him. And everyone else was like, I don't want to do it. I was like, I'll do it. I was like, I've done this before. Like,
no.
I was like, let's do it. So I get on the Ouija board, and this is all on the show. And like I said, at this point, at that time period, no one knows this story. The guy I'm doing, it's just me and one other guy doing the Ouija board. He knows nothing about me. This was like early days. I just started becoming more on camera. So like no one knew me. You know, they don't know my stories or anything. And it starts moving and it starts saying it's Z-O-Z-O. So then I asked, I was like, have we ever met before? And it says yes. And I know I'm not moving it and he knows nothing about me. And I was like, okay, what did you try to do to me? And it spells out kill. And I said, how? And then it spells out stab. And I was just like, all right, this is absolutely insane. But like it was the same, whatever demon spirit, whatever it is, like it was the same thing. And then another funny bookend, just to, why not?
Did the whole show go crazy?
Oh yeah, it was nuts. Okay. So there's more. Fast forward, I'm living in Nashville. And I randomly, like, I went to, like, a Waffle House kind of late at night one night just to get some food.
Definitely a portal.
Right. Oh, 100%. Or it's going to create a portal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting at the bar top, and I hear these two girls kind of talking, and they're like, oh, are we going to do the Ouija board again tonight? And I'm just like, what? Like, what are they talking about? And they didn't recognize me. They didn't know who I was. But, like, I hear this, and they're like, yeah, it was kind of weird that last night, like, that Z.O. kept, like, spirit kept coming through wanting to hang out, like, wanted to talk to us. And she's like, it was kind of like, one girl was like, yeah, that was so cool. And the other girl's like, no, that was weird. And I just turned to him. I was like, it was like a movie. Like, I'm the weird old guy. It's like, don't do that. You know, like,
yeah,
don't go down that road. And I remember just being like, what are you serious? Like, and I explained the whole thing. I was like, don't mess with that. And I think they were kind of creeped out, but also kind of thankful. I think that I,
whoa,
gave him a heads up. But yeah, it was wild just to be like,
dude,
shit.
I don't want to say the name,
right?
Yeah. By saying it, you didn't do anything, I hope.
No, I don't think so. I feel like, right?
That's so crazy.
Yeah, but to, like, kind of go back to what you said before too, where it comes to, like, cleansing. I think earlier in the show, all of us, we didn't know how to cleanse. We didn't know how to ground ourselves. And we all have had experiences where things follow us home, or, you know, minor attachments, or, like, you know, one of us calls the other one in the middle of the night and be like, holy shit, like, someone's in my house and there's no one there. You know, I remember Zach had an event one night where he got dragged out of his own bed, you know, and, like,
dragged?
Yeah. Yeah, like, something, he was sleeping, something grabbed him and pulled him out of bed. And, you know, we all have had these ups and downs throughout our career. And I think,
How do you cleanse?
So for me, it's more, I guess, finding what positive energy, what makes me happy. You know, so I'll play music, I end up going hiking, play with my dogs, hang out with my family, things like that, like, just engulf myself and not pay attention to it. Don't feed into any of the negativity, don't feed into any of the fear, don't give it any of that fuel to, like, kind of build up, and then it kind of just goes away.
Dude, a chick I used to know, I know, I just made me think of this. She came over one time, and I think she said she had, like, an attachment.
Really?
And my house feels like it changed.
Huh, yeah.
And then years later, my girlfriend was in the kitchen, and she has a video, and she said, there's a female ghost in here, and she doesn't like me.
Oh, well, yeah.
And she, like, threw something on the, like, the trash can lid went, psh, and she's like, I didn't move that. I'm telling you, it slammed by itself. And then I went away. That was, like, the first time of, like, maybe experiencing something, because there was weird things, but I went away. I let my buddy stay in the house for a week.
Yeah.
He said he stayed for 3 days and he left. And now this is in Los Feliz, which I think is also a haunted city.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't live too far from the murder house.
Okay.
From the Manson stuff.
Yeah, I've been in that house.
Whoa.
That house has wild energy.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of still there as it was. No one ever changed it. It's weird.
Yeah, Zach owned it for a little while. We would go and hang out in there. We never filmed.
Did he clean it up?
No.
So is it still the way it was?
At least, I mean, he sold it now, but, like, I don't know if they're going to do anything with it.
Yeah,
he owned it for a little while.
He was into this shit.
And we talked about, like, doing an episode or doing a documentary.
Why
or
did he
a special
own it?
Or something like that. Well, we were going to do something with it. We wanted to explore it. We wanted to do that. So him and I, he bought a house in Gary, Indiana called the Demon House. Which
you have no idea.
Yeah.
Why Gary?
Well, so this story broke out.
I gotta finish my story.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, please. Yeah, yeah. We'll go back to Demon House.
Dude.
Not physically, because.
Dude.
Yeah.
My buddy left after 3 days because he said you have the 3 a.m. tuba player.
Really?
Is this the phenomenon? Because in every night at 3 a.m., I heard a tuba in the walls. I went home, and I started hearing it, you couldn't explain it.
Yeah.
And I went outside. This is the craziest shit I ever saw, the most phenomenon of all.
Yeah.
Of course, you know about 3 o'clock, 3 a.m.
Yeah, like the witching hour.
So do you know what that means?
Well,
if I know, like,
the
you
idea
don't,
of, like,
I'm going to get mad
like
at you.
The veil's thinner there. Like,
okay. Let me explain this
to everybody. Space between the realities.
From 2 to 3, they say, so what you're saying, everything is action reaction. There's no yin without a yang.
Right.
Okay.
Totally.
There's no punch without pain. And if you believe that you have to do something to get something, they say that 2 to 3 is when the demons make deals.
Okay.
And it's the blood time. It's fascinating. That's why you wake up at 3. And it's not a joke. Like, all this stuff could come, we'd say, oh, it's the witching hour. But we go, where did we come up with that idea? It came from somewhere. They make deals for people, souls, however you want to say it. And it's a
Robert Johnson at the crossroads.
Possibly, yes. And it's the hour where deals are made and blood sacrifices are done. So it's like the negotiations happen between the person and the entity or the two entities. And then the 3 o'clock, they start collecting these tariffs, if you will. So that's, things could happen at 3 o'clock. Like, you know, it sounds horrific, but like car accidents or
just other murders, tragic events.
Events. And they say that that is because from 2 to 3, the negotiations happen and they require a sacrifice to keep the power of being this dark entity.
Right.
It's what keeps them alive. It's their gas for their car, if you will.
Right. Ah, I could see that for sure.
But anyway, why did you go to Gary, Indiana?
A headline came out that there was a house in Gary, Indiana, that there was like an insane amount of like demons there. And basically it was a family. They got investigated by, what is it, a CPA, and, you know, for like the kids were missing school, things like that. So they started investigating this family, and they were claiming demonic possession was like the problem that they were going through and why kids were missing school and things like that. And what made this more credible is that chief of police, other police officers, social workers, hospital workers, all would witness these incredible paranormal experiences in this house. And it actually gained a lot of news coverage for it. So I remember flying out to some shoot and I saw this article. And as soon as I landed, Zach called me and he's like, hey, I'm talking to the owner of the house. I'm going to buy it. It's like, explore this. Like, this is a huge case.
Buy it?
Yeah.
Why does he have to buy everything?
Because we ended up spending a couple years. Like, it was almost like a controlled experiment. So, like, when we do an episode, we're only there for a few days. That's it. We're in.
Does he make a lot of money?
He makes good money, yeah.
Okay, so go ahead.
So then he's basically like, that's, you know, I'm going to buy the house and we're going to go there. And we went there for over the course of a couple years. When we're, you know, we would be off from the show and we would go and we'd film basically in our in-between off weeks. And we started putting, piecing together a documentary. We got in touch with everyone involved, tried to interview them. You know, we talked to the chief of police, social workers, people that witnessed these things. And then we basically documented our experiences in the house and with the house. And basically, I forget originally what it was that got us on this point, but like, that particularly ended up just being probably the most evil place I feel like we've ever been. Like, just the darkness, the level of darkness was insane. We actually had a cameraman that totally went insane, like, so much we had to send him home early. He was a friend of mine that I flew him out. I was like, hey, we, you know, for this shoot, we want an extra camera operator. You know, we were a very small crew. There was maybe like 4 or 5 of us at a time. And I flew him out. He was filming for us. Totally lost his mind. Like, it's in the doc too. Like, he goes crazy. He sees a demon goat man in the elevator and just loses his mind. We end up sending him home early. But before we left, it's off camera. I'm in the stairwell of the hotel. This is like 3 a.m. He's screaming in the hotel room, in the hotel hallways. And I finally get him calmed down. I'm sitting with him off camera and I'm like, man, like, are you okay? Like, look, we're going to send you home early. Like, you know, and he's like, honestly, Jay, he's like, I didn't believe this shit. He's like, I thought you guys were just making TV, you know, or movies or whatever. I've been filming with you for like 2-3 days now, and I 100% believe it. And it's just, it's crushed his concept of reality so much. Like, he literally went crazy.
Is he, number one, okay now?
I don't know, honestly. I hope he's doing well. I know last time I talked to him, he was doing well. And then I followed up with him to kind of, so basically it was so intense, like for the documentary, we're like, all right, we want to back this up. So how can we back it up? Cause it's just him freaking out. So we got a lie detector test and we actually had him do a lie detector and we brought him back from that. And I remember he came to, my parents' house in New Jersey. I went out there and like he lived in Philly. He came out there and he's like, yeah, I've been doing good. And then I start interviewing him, kind of like talking head, like, tell us about what you went through and things like that. And he all of a sudden jumps up and runs to the bathroom and just pukes. And he's like, yeah, he's like, it's coming back. Like, he felt like it was the first time, like he got better, but then, like, bringing it up and paying attention to it, like, brought it back.
Did he tell you what he saw?
He was in the house, and we have footage on the security camera of the house. He's in the house, and he just starts, like, zoning out, like he's not there. You know what I mean? Like, something's wrong. We get back to the hotel, and he was just weird. He said he wasn't feeling right. He threw up. He was like, something's not right. And then he's just like, he's just getting aggressive. And he starts walking out and he's like, I'm going to go to the bar across the street from the hotel. And we're all still in one hotel room, kind of like all just hanging out. And we hear him just screaming from the hall. And it's like midnight, 1 a.m, something like that. So we run out there and he's just screaming. He's like punching the walls, like ready to fight. And he's like a Philly dude. So he was walking out and he was starting to believe, like, he's like, this is crazy. Like, this can't be real. This can't be real. This can't be happening. And he literally said to himself or out loud, I don't know, but like, he was like, if you are real, like, show yourself to me. And he says the elevator door opened and he saw like a goat man just standing in the elevator and he just lost his shit. And his natural reaction was to be like, we're fighting. Like, and he was just like so aggressive and angry and just like went on this rage. And then we brought him back to the hotel and we sat him down to try to explain, you know, what's going on. And he's like, it was just so dark. Like, he turned and was just losing it. It was terrifying.
You know, goat man is.
Yeah.
That ain't a good one.
No.
That's the head of this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
He might have seen.
Right.
Lucifer.
Yeah.
Or one of his henchmen.
Yeah.
Baphomet or the other guy. Yeah. I forget his name. Listen to
Baal
me.
Or...
Baal.
Yeah.
Because you said goat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Black Phillip.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole other thing. That was the most evil place you ever were?
Probably overall, yes.
What was it called?
It was just a house in Gary, Indiana.
What was the address?
The nickname was Demon House.
Demon House?
Yeah.
What address?
I don't remember where it was at. I'm sure online it would pop up. But.
Okay. You want to hear something?
Yeah.
The guy behind the curtain?
Yeah.
Is from Gary, Indiana.
Oh, really? Wow.
No, that's not casual, bro.
Right? Like, it's pretty random.
Bro? Familiar? How far?
Oh, shit.
Dude, that's crazy.
Right? What are the chances of that?
Dude!
Things happen for a reason. I don't know.
What if he came into my life 3 years ago?
Right.
Just you, so you would come here at some moment to tell that story that he's here.
Maybe. I mean, weirder shits happen, right? Like, how things all come together and cross over and connect and...
And I've never heard that story once.
Yeah.
And this dude is a little weird. He's like, lurch.
He probably can't hear us if we whisper, right?
Dude, that's a good place to end this. I got to have you back.
Yeah, I'd love to, man. This is fun.
How do we cleanse? Tell people, when's the new season come out?
So the new season's April 16th. They're going to air on Wednesdays, 10 p.m. on Discovery Channel. And then they stream on Max and Discovery Plus the next day.
Wow. Congrats, dude.
Thank you.
How do we cleanse? Do we say anything?
Yeah, I mean, just be positive. I mean, you know, there was stuff like sage. Palo Santo is a big one. I like Palo Santo. It's a type of wood that you kind of burn and use as a sage. That one's really good. But just... positive energy. Just find whatever it is makes you happy and just engulf yourself in it.
Positivity.
Exactly.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate you.
Absolutely.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.